You're listening to Faith That Works, a podcast ministry of Faith Community Church, Indianapolis, Indiana. This is Pastor Steve Nanny, and I'm so glad that you've tuned in today to listen to our podcast. On Sunday mornings recently, we've been talking about Romans and the idea of transforming faith using Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 as the text for our study on the idea that when we put our faith in Jesus, He transforms us. Not only does He justify us, but He sanctifies us and gives us all that we need to be triumphant for living. We'll pick up a Sunday morning. Thanks for listening. Talking about transforming faith. Transforming faith. We're studying Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, and we're deep in to Romans 6, and we're going to finish Romans 6 today, and I'm excited about that. We've talked the last few weeks about to know, right? We need knowledge, right, about who we were and who we are and what Christ has done for us, that we've been dead to sin, alive to God. There's been a transformation because of my faith in what Christ has done for me, right? God has transformed me. I'm not who I was. I was dead, and now I'm alive. We talked about knowing that. What does that look like? So once you know that, last week we talked about you surrender to that. If you were here last week, I had a ball full of ping pongs, and we were throwing it, and then what you have to do is just lay the whole bowl down, right? A lot of you are trying to still have Jesus and do what you want to do, and it doesn't work like that. You have to surrender all to Jesus, the hymn says. I surrender all to Him, right? All to Him. It's all that you have belongs to Him. And so what we have to do is live in the awareness of that fact. Because if you live with the awareness that Jesus has everything, everything I have belongs to Him, my life, my family, my kids, my stuff, then it changes your perspective because now it's His and you just give it to Him. Now you're not trying to control it or manipulate it. You surrender to Him. So if I know, if I surrender, then the question is, who do I serve? Who do I serve? So last week we talked about three things. Let's go to that next one. It says, do not allow sin control. This is just last week's real quick. Don't listen to its passions. Number two, we said, don't be a weapon for unrighteousness, but righteousness. And sin, now this is an important thing we talked about. Since it's been defeated, only has the control you give it. If you have Christ, you have the power to overcome those things in you that weigh you down. You have power. What we've got to do is find the connection. Now think about it like this. We've got to make sure what's inside of us comes out of us. Now a lot of us are into this idea, or the church has taught for years, behavior modification. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss, don't hang with those that do. Just be this, be that, don't, and then by the way, if you were thinking about that, don't. And it feels like it is bogged down. It's the law, it's legalism, and we can't keep it, right? So what God has done through His Son Jesus, He said, I put everything you need deep inside of you. Now let that thing out. Just let that out of you. Just stop overthinking everything and just let that out of you, right? So when you do something good, it's not the you doing something good, it's the Christ in you just coming out of you. When you love someone who you shouldn't be loving, well, I know you think you're a great person, but you're just not. That is Jesus coming out of you. So what you have to do is surrender to that anger. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to surrender to bitterness. I'm not going to embrace it. I'm going to surrender my unforgiveness, and I'm just going to say, forgiveness, here you go. Love, here you go. Peace, here you go. I'm going to surrender my mind and my heart for my angry, sinful, revengeful self, and I'm just going to let stuff go. I'm going to live in peace because of what Christ is doing in me, and He comes out of me. How does a man hang on a cross and say, Father, forgive them? That is powerful. That is powerful to look at the people responsible for His very death and to look at them and say, Lord, they have no idea what they're doing. God help us to live our lives with a Father forgive them kind of attitude. Amen? And see God move. So that was last week, and we talked about who's in charge, that we need to surrender to Christ daily and not surrender to sin. So Romans 6, beginning of verse 15, if you have your Bibles, it'll be on the screen as well. But let's read together Romans 6, 15 through 18. If you're there, say I'm there. Amen. Let's do something real quick. I've thought about this all morning. Thank you, Lord, because I was about to not say it, but I'm going to say it. Right? You're like, I don't know what direction he's going. Sometimes I don't either. That's okay. We're just on a journey together. So this section over here, I want you to just 1, 2, 3, say amen. Okay? 1, 2, 3.
Amen.
Amen. So if you're not sure what to say today, like, hey, that's a good point. That's your word. Amen. Amen. You guys right here in the middle, y'all need to invite some people. We need some more in the middle here. All right? My friend Zane's here. So glad. All right, you guys are going to be like, praise the Lord. 1, 2, 3.
Praise
so if you're not sure what, so let's play it together. 1, 2, 3.
Praise the Lord.
Man, that sounds like we're having church now. Now, you guys are just going to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ha. H-R-A. Either one's acceptable. Don't worry about it. Don't overthink it. Okay? Which, if you didn't know, hallelujah means praise the Lord. We're just going to say it twice. Right here in the middle. We're going to have a lot of praise right here. 1, 2, 3.
Hallelujah.
Now, this section over here, you're going to be in my redneck section. Y'all just going to say hot dog.
Hot dog.
Hot dog. All right. 1, 2, 3.
Hot dog.
Okay. Now, if you're offended by hot dogs, say something else. Okay. I don't know. Turkey burgers. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe you're not. Anyway. Oh, well. Say your word. 1, 2, 3.
Hallelujah.
1, 2, 3.
Praise
there you
Lord.
Go. So if you're curious, if I make a good point and you're like, I don't have anything to say. Now you do. Romans 6, 15. Romans 6, 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. What a verse. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Verse 19. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and the lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22, but now that you have been set free from sin and you have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let's break that down. Isn't that good stuff? So let's watch this just for a second. So beginning in verse 15. Now this is important to know, because if you jump back to verse 1, let me go back to verse 1 just for a second. I went back too far. What shall we say then? Verse 1. Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And then if we go to verse 15, verse 15 says, what then? Are we to sin because we're not under law but under grace? Now, it uses the same word sin, but if you break it down into that original language, it's meaning it a little bit different. In verse 1, it's talking about like you're continuing in sin. Hey, are you to continue in sin? Like you're just in a habitual state of sin. You have made your mind up. This is how I'm going to be. This is how I'm going to live. Are you to continue like that? He says no. But then in verse 15, it's a little bit different. Are we to sin because we're not under law but under grace? He says by no means. In other words, no way. Now that sin right there means once in a while. Well, how about occasionally? Is it okay to occasion? I mean, I got the grace of God. I mean, I've got Daddy's credit card. I've got the blood of Jesus. I got the cross. Jesus has extended me some credit. So I know I can't live in continual sin. But you know, Jesus don't care if once in a while I do something bad. He says, no. Why would you do that? Why would you continue or even once in a while sin and abuse the grace given to you? Can I tell you? You do not, now watch this, if you are in Christ, you do not belong to sin anymore. You don't belong. Now, well, sometimes I do. No. When we sin, it's because we've made a mistake or an error, not because we, since Sunday's coming. I knew a lady one time, a long time ago. She admitted to me she lived a terrible lifestyle, but she said, as long as I get right Saturday night, I'm good for Sunday morning. Because my question was to her, so you doing this all the time? Yes, I do this all the time. And you sing in the choir on Sunday mornings? She said, as long as I get right with God, by Sunday morning, I'm good to go. Shame on us for thinking like that. Shame on us for thinking that that would be acceptable. That at any point and at any time, I can do whatever I want to do and just forget you, God. Everything, if I want Christ, right? Everybody wants the blood of Christ. Nobody wants the responsibility. Amen, preacher. Amen. There's your word. I need some hot dogs now. Now listen. Now, what, I gotta have to have my hot dog this week now. I mean, I have all this hot. So, I understand this. So, some of you heard me tell that. I'm at the age now that I tell stories multiple times. And if you've heard it before, you just have to grin and nod. That's where I'm at. You've heard those people, you're like, this is the fifth time you've told me this in the last hour. But okay, let's listen again. Right? So, that we can't help ourselves, storytellers. We can't help ourselves. So I remember telling my father I was interested in a car nicer than the one I had. And I felt like it was time for me to be able to get a nice car. Therefore, we would need to go to the bank and borrow the money for said car. And my father was like, I don't think you want to do that. The car you got is pretty nice, and it's not, and you own it, you have the title, it's no big deal. But father, you just, I love it when 20-year-olds say, you don't understand. You just don't understand. Daddy, you can't understand what I'm feeling right now, right? And so my father took me to the bank. We borrowed said money. And we drove off the car lot with said car. And I was thrilled beyond thrilled. And then one day, this thing in the mail showed up with my name on it. It was a bunch of coupons, like a book full of coupons, kind of thick. And I went to my father and I said, some of y'all know how this goes, how this story ends, right? I'm not following what all these coupons are for, because just because I had thought, oh, this is the amount of time, no problem. Then all of a sudden the physical evidence of the next so many years of my life showed up. And I'm flipping through this book. And my father said, hey, every one of those coupons, those are payments. See that amount? That's a month of your life. That many months? That's a lot of months. Well, I tried to tell you. Right, so I wanted it, but I didn't want it. You following that? A lot of people want Christ, and then all of a sudden they say, hey, I'm just here for heaven. I mean, I'm here for the heaven part of salvation, the dying to self, the surrender. No, thank you. I'm not really interested in that. But I would like the streets of gold. Who wouldn't sign up for that? Gates of pearl? Give me some of that. Death to self. Hold the phone. Right? So you understand, this is what it, can I tell you? It's going to cost you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. He is going to require of you. And can I just say something else? He has the right. He has the right. You belong to him. Here's my point. You're going to serve somebody. You will serve somebody. Who will it be? It's either going to be sin or obedience. It's either going to be sin, selfishness, which Paul tells us right there, leads to destruction, leads to death, leads to all these terrible things. Or you're going to be an obedient child of God. And you're going to transfer ownership of yourself from sin and self and the devil. And I'm going to say no to that. I'm turning. This is where repentance, it's always right there. I'm turning. I'm a slave to sin. Sin owns me. Does everybody understand this? Have you ever done something maybe before Christ and you're like, what an idiot I was? Is anybody in the room like that? Am I the only one, right? Okay. We've all done things like, what was I thinking? You weren't. You were just listening to your owner. You belong to sin. When you belong to sin, you just do sinful stuff. You can't help yourself. Why? Because I'm sinful. Sin owns me. I belong to sin. I'm selfish. I'm self-centered. I'm arrogant. I'm prideful. All I want is stuff. I'm interested in money. I'm interested in gratifying what I want. I'm not living for other people. I'm living for me. That's what sin tells you to do. You belong to sin. But one day, God calls your name. One day, God says, I got something better. I got something better. Anybody thankful for the day God called your name? Can we give God a hand for that? Aren't you thankful for the day God called your name? And all of a sudden, I thought, what? What? Right? It's Jesus. What? I don't. And Jesus is like, hey, come to me. Come to me. So I turn and I come to Jesus. Now, time out. Back to the worship thing. That's why I worship. Oh. Oh, yes. Thank you. You understand? I was owned by sin. It owned me. And now, Jesus, I belong to you. Righteousness, obedience, peace, joy, happy. The fruit of the Spirit lives in me. Wow. Oh, God, thank you that I belong to sin. Now I belong to you. Everybody following that? That's why we worship. But guess what? Can I tell you something? So as Jesus is now owning me, he gets to tell me what to do. I'm kind of looking for the middle. Aren't we all looking for the middle? We're all looking for the middle. Like, I just prefer not to choose a side. You know, I would prefer not to, I don't want to offend sin or Jesus. So, you know, I'm just going to kind of bounce back and forth if I could. Nope. We got churches all across the world today with professing Christians who are bouncing in line. And can I be honest with you? If you don't come to Christ all the way, you're not coming at all. If you're not coming to Christ, you're not coming at all. So these are the people that make me nervous. These are the people that make me nervous because they have a form of godliness. They deny its power. They don't have it. And so therefore they're like, oh, what? Huh? I don't understand what's going on right here, right? Yeah, because it's that way. It's that way. No man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. No man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is not good news, it's great news. But for some of you, you're terrified today, and you should be. Just put your hand to plow. Keep clowning. Just keep plowing, right? You're leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. I wonder how it's back there. Don't look. Don't look. Lot told his wife, don't look. Don't turn back. Well, it's kind of nice back there. I enjoyed the scenery. Boom. Destruction. Because she refused to just stay ahead, stay focused. and I'm not a slave to sin any longer. So now watch this. So when sin calls my name, right? Now follow me now. This is hot off the press, church. I'm just telling you. So we're coming into righteousness. I'm come into holiness. I'm locked into Christ. I'm no longer a slave to sin. And so sin calls my name. I don't even acknowledge it. Woo-hoo, over here. Look at me. No. 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 You're still mad at that guy from 2017. I almost said 2000. I'm like, that's a long time ago. I'm so old. The 2000s seemed like that was like yesterday, right? So come over here. Look at me. Remember that thing that person did to you? They're still mad. Aren't you still mad about that? Nope. Moving on. What about what that, you know, what about that thing you like to do all the time? Don't you want to still? I'm over here. No, I belong to Jesus now. Nope. Not doing that. See, that's the power you have. And that's the struggle. And that's why we say die to self. Die to self. So our response, church, as I'm walking towards God, I'm all in. Hand to the plow. I belong to Christ. My body is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I'm all in. I'm following Jesus. And so when that calls, I have to say, just some of you don't like this word. Shut up. This is what I say in my house a lot. Stop talking. Just. I had to say it the other night. Please stop talking. I'm not even going to look at my kids right now. Just stop talking. They know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, he's not here. Okay. All right. So, where did he go? He's here somewhere. Just stop. No. 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 Is everybody following that analogy and how we have to understand we have the power? We don't belong to Christ. So let's look at a few things here. Let's look at a few things. So who do you work for? It's on the board right here. If you work for sin, you'll be a slave to sin. Sin leads to death. Sin leads to impurity in verse 19, it tells us. And sin leads to lawlessness in verse 19. But if you work for obedience, it leads to righteousness. It leads to freedom. It leads to being a slave to obedience. I'm now belong to God. And then, if I walk in obedience, it leads to sanctification, which is that inward work, God working and moving in my life. And I want you to look at this verse real quick in verse 17. This is an important verse. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Now that's big, right? But thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin. We can stop right there and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen? Thanks be to God that I used to be a slave to sin. Anybody thankful you don't work for sin anymore? Can we give God a hand for that? Aren't you thankful you don't work for sin? I don't work for you. Hey, I don't work for you anymore. You'll tell me what to do, right? Right? Who shows up at Walmart and you see your former boss and he's like, hey, take that off the shelf and put that in my cart. I don't work for you. You'll tell me what to do anymore. I don't work for you. Right? Right. So the problem is sometimes we still let sin tell us what to do. I don't work for sin anymore. Sin doesn't tell me what to do. I tell sin to get away because I have the power of Christ in me to overcome that sin. Everybody following that? So for those of you that are saying, I just can't help myself, that's a lie. You can. It's a lie. You can help yourself. Now, is it hard? Of course it is. Will it take a minute? Sure it will. But you have the power. You have the power. You have the power. And it might take you a minute, but you keep using that power. But thanks be to God that verse 17, but you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Now, Bryn, go to that slide with the melting metals on there. I want you to see this. So, thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart. Now, when the Bible speaks of, I love it when it says the heart, because when the Bible speaks of the heart, it literally means your entire moral and mental activity. It is the center of everything we do is the heart. But that right there, when that Bible right there says obedient, become obedient, what that literally means is to conform to. To conform to. So watch this. So think about this. People say doctrine is boring. I don't like doctrine. I don't want to learn more. I just want to come in and just, you know, just give me whatever I want to hear and let's just worship. And I don't want to learn more about my Bible. But can I tell you this? When you come under biblical sound teaching, it changes you. It conforms you. If you would just start reading your Bible on a regular basis, you would find yourself having more peace. You'd find yourself having more joy. When I find myself in God's word more and pray more, there's just something about it. Well, I don't even need a commentary. I don't need this. I let the word wash over me, and it just changes me. It's the power of the word. It's what it does. And watch this. You know what doctrine wants to do? It wants to mold you. Watch now, look at that. So imagine this. Allow your heart to melt and be imprinted with what God wants to imprint on you. Can you do that? So you've got to let go of your heart. Let go of your mental, moral activity. Surrender it. Become obedient to God. And when God takes that, he will melt it. He wants to melt you, to reform you with his stamp. His stamp. Many moons ago, I worked for a Christian bookstore. And I don't know if you've ever, which we don't even have anymore hardly anywhere, but you used to buy a Bible, and people would put their name in gold letters on the front cover, right? And it was a little tedious process because you had to add one letter at a time. And you took this gold stuff, and you had to put it down. And the most awkward thing is misspelling somebody's name as you mash it down. And you lift it up, and you say, here you go. And you're like, that ain't right. That's not what I told you. You spelled it wrong. So what I do with this Bible now? Nothing. The Bible has been ruined because the wrong thing has been imprinted on there. You follow? Now, the Word of God is still the Word of God. The Bible's not ruined, but that person no longer desires that particular Bible. You following that? So when you allow Christ to stamp you, then he can use you. But you have to surrender control to him so that he can melt you and form you into his image. People all the time say, I don't want to be like Jesus. Do you now? Do you now? Oh, I want to be like Jesus. Do you now? You ready to burn? You ready to melt? You ready to be broken? Are you ready to die? Because that's what being like Jesus means. But can I promise you, on the flip side of that is life. Yes. On the flip side of that is power. On the flip side of death and surrender and brokenness. So it is a laying down so that God can give me more. If my child had a $5 bill and they thought, oh, $5. It's amazing. They don't understand the value. I say, hey, I got one with a 2 and a 0 on it. Trade me. I'm not trading you that. I got $5. I've got 5. Yeah, you understand, I got more. Give me the 5, I'll give you a 20. No. I don't know that. I'm talking about a child who doesn't understand, right? And so what we're doing is we're holding on to $5 bills and Jesus wanting to give us 20s. You following that? And so he wants to exchange, but we have to surrender ourselves so that God can melt us and imprint us. And how does he do that? He does that in the Word. He does that in teaching. It's so critical that we read our Bibles and we allow the Bible to imprint the Son of God, the nature of God, in us and on us. You following that? Let's keep going. Hot dog. Amen. So now, he says there's a payment plan. There's a payment plan. The payment plan for sin, in verse 20, he talks about that you're free of righteousness. Think about that. If you're living in sin, so what does that mean, free from righteousness? That means you can't live righteous. You're free from it. You can't. Let me share something that maybe this will resonate or make sense. Lost people act lost. Well, you're acting like a sinner. Yeah, because they are one. People have lost their minds. No, they never had it. Are you following that? So we can't be mad at dead people for not jumping up and down. I wish you'd just do something. They're dead. They can't. So we're judging people, being harsh to people who are dead people. And they will never come alive by you standing over their corpse going, "You're just so dead. You're just dead. You are dead. Dead person. You're just dead. Dead. You're not breathing. Just look, you're just like you're just sitting there. Do something. Get up." I'm on Facebook saying all this. Get up now. You gotta get up. Casket. Do something. Stop acting like that. They can't even hear you. I mean, I'm not just talking about social media. I'm talking about, you see, but because they're not alive. You know what brings people back to life? Hey, there's a Jesus that can raise you back to the dead. I'd like to tell you about the love of God. At some point, and then Jesus will call their name, and then they get up. You see what I'm saying? So we have to understand and be passionate and kind and loving to people who are acting like sinners, because that's what they are. Now, does that mean we say, "Good for you, dead person. That is wonderful. You just keep acting like that. Yeah, there is nothing wrong with you. No, you're fine. Just the way you are. Jesus loves you just the way you are." He wants them to be alive. So we've got to find the balance in the judgment and the condoning. And that's going to be critical that we do. As people of God, we don't condone it, but we also don't tell them how terrible they are. What we tell them is how wonderful their life could be with Christ. If you would just understand, you're a slave to sin. Hey, can I tell you? Jesus will make you a slave to obedience and to righteousness, eternal life. See that way, that path you're on? Hey, I know you like that path you're on. I'm just telling you, the end result is eternal death. That road leads to death. This road leads to life. And I know we want to classify people in about 100 different ways, but that's really the bottom line, isn't it? You're either on the pathway to death or you're on the pathway to life. And so what we got to do is encourage people, love on people, share the gospel with people, talk to people who are dead, and then tell them, "Hey, listen." Now, a lot of times we say, I don't know enough scripture to share my faith with anybody. Hey, if you're alive and you know who made you alive, just share that. Just share that. Hey, I just got to be honest with you. And then somebody wants to trip you up. I'm just off tangent, but hold with me. So I'm walking down the path of destruction and righteousness. I try to encourage someone to come back to life. They flip me something like, "Well, what about Revelation 22:7? What's going on there? What's that beast look like? Well, I don't understand that. What's that?" And so you go, "Yeah, I don't know. I'm out. I can't quit." Right? Hey, you know what? I don't know. All I know, I love the story when Jesus heals the man. He goes, "Listen, this is all I know. I was blind, now I see." You do. Pharisees, you take with that whatever you want to take with that. Your opinion of Jesus, you're forming an opinion of Jesus. I'm just going to tell you my story. My story is I woke up this morning blind. I'm looking at you right now, and the man named Jesus did it. What you do with that is on you, but I got to tell you about that. Stop arguing with people. Start telling people that you're alive. And don't say, "I'm alive because I'm pretty cool. You know, I've read a lot of self-help books and feeling pretty strong. I got this meditation app on my phone. I'm a good person." You're dead. You're dead unless God intervenes through his son Jesus. You following that? You are alive today because of what Jesus has done for you. Can I get an amen right there or a hot dog over there? You're alive because of Jesus. What else? Just Jesus. Who are you supposed to be glorifying? Jesus. What should I be talking about? Jesus. Just keep it about Jesus. Just keep it about Jesus. Keep your story about Jesus. Keep it about Jesus. Can I tell you, James 1:15 says this. You know this verse, some of you do. Then desire, talking about sin, always, the road of sin always leads to death. Sin, desire, conceived, gives birth to sin. Then desire conceived gives birth to sin. Sin, fully grown, as I go down that road, brings forth death. Always ends in death. I'll end with this right here. And I'll go to at some point this week, go to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Put that last slide up, if you don't mind. I want you to see this. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, it talks about the idea that if you own a slave, he serves you for 6.5 years, and then you let him go. And I thought this is interesting. It says, and when you let him go, you shall not let him go empty-handed. Furnish him liberally out of your flock, out of your threshing floor, out of your wine press. As the Lord your God has blessed you, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you once were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. So when slavery, when that person has paid their debt and they're moving on, you're supposed to shower them with all kinds of goodness, just like the Lord God has showered us. See, I think sometimes we forget how good God's been to us. You think that we do that? I think we do that. I think sometimes we get to focus on our problems and we forget the goodness of God in our lives. And then this is an interesting thing, I thought. And so if the Lord your God redeemed, therefore I command you. But if the slave says to you, I will not go from you. What? Because he loves you and your household. Since he is well off with you, then you shall take an awl, which is that spike right there. You shall take him to the door, put his ear to it, and he shall be your slave forever. So it's time to let you go. You're free. Now I think I'm going to stay here with you because you're good to me. I want to be with you. So then the slave would be permanently marked. What that permanent mark looked like was an ear to the door and a spike through the ear. Pierced, because I want the world to know I belong to you, my owner. How about some of us get pierced for Christ? How about some of us attach ourselves to him in such a way that the world sees it? How about some of us saying, God, you are good to me, and I don't really want to go out on my own. I want to be with you. Now, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but I think it's interesting that they use the door. When Jesus said in John 10, I am the door. And then in the Old Testament, the blood of a lamb had to be put at the doorpost. So then Isaiah tells me that Jesus was pierced for my transgressions. So the awl on the door, I die because he died. I belong to him because he came to me. I die with him. You following that? I attach my suffering to his suffering. I connect with him. Paul said, oh, to know the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. God, put my ear on the door. I belong to you. I don't care who knows it. I want the world to know it because God's been good to me. So I can't be quiet about my owner. Pierce me as you were pierced. Crush me as you were crushed. Have your way with me. Because at the end, it's all good. Can you see that? It's all good. And so some of you are so nervous to go the next step, to go all the way in. You kind of, again, you're bouncing in the middle. And Jesus is saying, come on, can you put your ear on the door? I'll let you stay with your sin. Can you come towards me? Can I be your owner now? Can you be a slave of righteousness? I'm not a slave of sin anymore. I'm a slave of obedience and righteousness. God, put my ear on the door. pierce me as you were pierced for me. Anybody following that? And we connect with God. So then when he kills me, see, watch this. Now, that's why I love what Job said. Job said this, in the middle of his suffering. Come on, most people don't even know the Bible know Job had a terrible. Here's what Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he didn't even have Jesus to look at. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Some of you going through some suffering today, stop being mad at it. Just surrender to it. You're going through hard times, hardships, difficulties. God's got you on the anvil. He's got you on the door. He's throwing an anvil in your ear. Stop complaining about it. Stop whining about it. Just surrender to it. Surrender to it. God pierced me as you were pierced for me. Can I tell you this real quick? Whatever suffering you do will not even compare to the suffering of our Savior. Won't compare. He will never put you on a cross. But he may ask you to trust him in difficulties. He may ask you to keep looking to me. He may ask you to stop complaining, stop whining. Just trust me. Trust me. Hey, can I tell you something? And worship through your pain. Worship through your sorrow. Worship through your brokenness. Acknowledge the greatness and the goodness of God in the midst of whatever's going on around you. Don't let the devil pull you down. Don't get lost in your circumstances. Don't get lost in the culture. Don't get lost in the negativity. Hey, stop looking around, people of God, and look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. It's coming. Jesus is coming. And so we need to lock in, Jesus, do your great work in me, and may your spirit pour out so that others may see Jesus in me. Let's bow your heads and close your eyes. God. Hey, everyone. This is Pastor Steve from Faith Community Church, and you are listening to Faith That Works, podcast ministry of Faith Community Church, Indianapolis, Indiana. We're so excited that you've taken time to listen to these words today. Our desire is that this would push you to a closer, deeper, more meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.